It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copeland. Featuring stimulating in-depth interviews with special guests from all areas of the arts. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Copeland.
Welcome to the show where we balance the intellectual with the creative, exploring whether we have more in common than divides us through thought-provoking conversations. For the topic hour, I go out and about and talk to people on the street about a wide variety of different subjects that affect us all both locally and globally. And for this, the Arts Hour, I interview local, national and international guests from all areas of the arts. And the show combines a debate topic with an arts interview because I feel discussion and creativity are two of the most vital ways which we engage with the world. If you'd like to find out more information about the show, you can go to the website. It's a question of balance.com. There's podcasts of all previous shows there, both guests and topics. And you can also connect with me on social media, should you wish. Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. So again, that's it's a question of balance.com. Well, this week I'm pleased to be interviewing two special guests from the arts live in the studio, Rose Sellery, award-winning artist, and Tina Brown, personal clothing stylist and blogger. And together, Rose and Tina founded Pivot, the art of fashion, which brings together art and fashion, producing incredibly unusual fashion events, showcasing the work of cutting-edge fashion designers and artists, one-of-a-kind wearable art pieces. And they actually have coming up, Alan Mark's Art Party is presenting the art of fashion on Saturday, June the 18th at 7 p.m. at the Armory in San Jose. So that is a chance to see their work. I'll be talking to them about it during the show. And Rose Sellery's creative exploration has been forged around human dynamics, the fragility of the family, gender roles, social issues, and the intricacies of our relationships to one another, giving her the opportunity to explore the mysteries of who we are and develop conceptual art garments as well as narrative photo montage and sculpture. Inspired by the spoken word, Rose Sellery reinterprets collected slang, derogatory words, and worn, thoughtlessly sanctioned expressions. She works in the materials essential to the piece, from metal to bone, cigarette butts to rose petals, fabric to photographs, creating humorous, thought-provoking, and sometimes disturbing three-dimensional objects and wearable art. Rose has curated art exhibits and fashion events around California and has exhibited artwork both nationally and internationally, including the world of wearable art in New Zealand, and work currently on exhibit in The Hague in the Netherlands. She's a recipient of numerous awards, one being the coveted Gail Rich Award. And Rose is one of the driving forces behind Fashion Art Santa Cruz for 9 years. She co-founded Pivot, the art of fashion, with Tina Brown. And in addition to her conceptual art garments, photo montage, jewellery and sculpture, Rose manages the Cabrillo College Gallery in Aptos, California. My other guest, Tina Brown, is a personal clothing stylist and blogger with a Bachelor of Science degree in Environmental Design from UC Davis. Her studies emphasising clothing as an environment for the body, not solely fashion. She interned with a French milliner in San Francisco and worked at Britex Fabrics, where she took her first consignment making hats for a major runway event for Macy's. Tina went on to work for the next 10 years on fashion photo shoots and runway events in San Francisco, San Jose, and Los Angeles. Some of her clients include Macy's, Saks Fifth Avenue, and Giorgio Armani. Her credits also include movie set costume stylist and makeovers for clients ranging from female executives and retired professionals to new mums. She is currently running her business Ilka Style in Santa Cruz, California. She also donates her time each spring mentoring local middle and high school students who participate in Fashion Teens Santa Cruz. Tina co-founded Pivot, the Art of Fashion, having previously worked for 6 years as designer coordinator for Fashion Art Santa Cruz. Welcome to the show, Rose and Tina.
Oh, we're so happy to be here, Ruth.
Well, it's lovely to have you both.
We're so happy.
So I wanted to ask you, you've both spent your lives working in the arts. I'm wondering whether you can remember the first encounter with a piece of art, whether writing, visual art, music, dance, which impressed upon you the power of art to affect people on a deep level, rather than just entertain. What about you, Rose? Can you think back?
Well, I come from a family of artists. My parents and grandparents on both sides were artists. So I'd been surrounded by art all my life, but one of the moments that stands out for me is at an exhibition in Southern California near UCLA, and I think I was probably around 4 years old, and there was a very large Monet-like painting that was sitting on an easel. The French doors were open. It was a warm, sunny day in Southern California, and bees were alighting all over this painting of flowers. And I think that's the first time that art actually struck me as meaning something. I'd been all over the house in my grandparents' homes, but this one painting stood out and made quite an impression on me.
Interesting. And what about you, Tina?
Well, I did not I did not grow up in a family of artists. My parents took me to art museums, but it wasn't until probably I started studying art history in college that I became fascinated with Marcel Duchamp, and I saw one of his pieces, and just taking a toilet and calling it art,
right? Yeah.
Really, for me, was really like, wow, okay, anything could be art. It depends what you think about it. And shocking people and that whole aspect of it really appealed to me. I'm not an artist. I cannot draw. So when I had to do a piece in college, I did a Dada piece, a collage where I put my feelings on the page, but with objects. And it was my way of being able to express myself. So I think I was drawn to that rebellious side of art.
Interesting. What motivated you to go into the arts professionally rather than just as a hobby, you first, Rose?
I'd been working in my family's ceramics firm. They had an architectural ceramics firm in Southern California. And when we moved to Northern California, I began working with my husband in his woodworking shop and helping him in wood carving and all sorts of specialty woodwork that he did. And at one point, he began to do more wood carving, and which is a kind of one-person job. And so I started thinking about where I wanted to go next, and I actually went to Cabrillo College and took jewelry classes and then began making jewelry for quite a while. But it's lonely in a jewelry studio, and I'd attack the UPS man and want him to come in for a cup of tea just so I could have a conversation. So I found that I was trying to tell stories through my jewelry, and eventually in those storytellings, I expanded into other mixed media forms and pretty much have left jewelry behind, but I still have the sensibilities of a jeweler. But I needed to tell stories, and that's why I work in so many different types of medium to help create those stories.
Right. Interesting. And what about you, Tina? You've said, you know, you're not an artist, but obviously all your work has been very, you know, creative in the creative world, helping people bring out their artistic side. So what led you to that rather than something not in the arts, which is always a difficult field, whatever it is?
Well, it was actually a much more practical decision. When I went to college at UC Davis, I was an applied physics major. And my first semester, I had advanced chemistry, advanced calculus, and art history. And art history was the only thing I liked. And but my parents were horrified that I would be an art history major. And what would I do when I got out? So I ended up majoring in environmental design, where I sort of designed my own curriculum. And I studied millinery, which was hat making. And I did learn how to do hands-on. And that led to being a fashion stylist in San Francisco. Nowadays, you can go to school to be a stylist, but back then nobody had heard of Rachel Zoe or, you know, any of these behind the scenes people. So I sort of had to forge my own way, but it was actually more of a practical decision kind of pushed by my parents. We're paying for you to go to college. You have to be able to work when you get out.
Right. So. Yes. Yeah. You were talking about the shock element of art and, you know, sort of, oh, anything can be art. I mean, I know a really great British artist, contemporary artist, Sasha Jaffrey. He's sort of said that we should get away from thinking what is art and what isn't art and think more about what is good and what isn't, you know, what moves us. Is that something you, both of you, could relate to, you know, in terms of thinking about art? Or what does art mean to you? Perhaps you first, Tina.
Yes, I absolutely think that. I think you have to evoke a feeling, response from people. I think that's what art does. Whether it's good or bad, if you're evoking something, if people are thinking about what you put out there, whether it's by what you're wearing or not wearing, I think that that's sort of the idea behind art.
Yeah. What about you, Rose?
Oh, I think I totally agree that art can be all manner of things. And for me, it's particularly those things that evoke some type of response. And sometimes the response is negative or wondering, what the hell am I looking at? But I like to search for things that have some story that leads my mind somewhere else. And it may not be the same story that Tina sees when she looks at it, but that we can all create something within ourselves from what we're looking at.
Right, yes. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, if you just joined us, I've got my special guests in the studio this week, award-winning artist Rose Sellery and personal clothing stylist and blogger Tina Brown. And together they have founded Pivot, the art of fashion, which brings art and fashion together, producing amazing fashion events. And just to let you know again that Anne and Mark's Art Party is presenting the art of fashion on Saturday, June the 18th at 7 p.m. at the Armory. And I also wanted to let you know about Rose and Tina's websites. Rose's website is rosesellery.com, which is R-O-S-E-S-E-L-L-E-R-Y.com. And Tina Brown's is ilkastyle.com, which is I-L-K-A-S-T-Y-L-E.com. We're going to go to a break now, but we'll be back with more conversation with Tina Brown and Rose Sellery after these messages.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copeland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
About you in the rain. Did I or didn't I say it's forever? Well, I know I said it, babe, it just goes nowhere.
It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com. Gazing at a painting by Santa Cruz artist Doreen Davis simultaneously enlivens and soothes the soul. Working predominantly in watercolor, but also in acrylic and oil, Doreen's floral and landscape paintings have appeared in many exhibitions and are in private collections in the United States, the United Kingdom, and Germany. Experience the visual delight of being at one with nature through her paintings. Visit her online gallery at DoreenDavis.com. DoreenDavis.com. That's DoreenDavis.com.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week, featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 47 years.
It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Coplin, and my special guests from the arts this week, live in the studio, Rose Sellery and Tina Brown, who are co-founders of Pivot, the art of fashion, which brings art and fashion together to produce incredibly unusual fashion events. So, Rose, I wanted to ask you a bit about your career and then move on to Tina. So you create art as well as photo montage, jewellery and sculpture. And I should tell listeners that your wearable art is not wearable in the sense that it would be worn as clothing outside of an art setting, but it's presented as a worn garment. And I'm wondering what inspired you to take your art and put it on the human body.
Well, a number of years ago, a close friend of mine, Tobin Keller, used to go up to San Francisco to the Castro, and we played in these kind of dress-up events. A lot of gay boys, a lot of drinking, a lot of fun, and we started making costumes to expand on these things. And so we would go to places like Tranny Shack, where they had transgender performances, and a number of other bars where there was special events. And out of that came a love for clothing and wearable art. Mm. And Tobin Keller actually works with us in Pivot as well, so he's continued on, and our love of fashion has grown.
Right. So when you're putting, I mean, you also have sculptures, and I'm going to ask you about that in a moment. But when you are taking that kind of sculptural element and putting it onto a human person wearing it, what do you feel that does that's different from when it's a sculpture on its own?
The act of movement, I think, can be very enriching to a garment, and to have a human form wearing it and enlivening it is really exciting to see. And there's things that you can do on the body that you can't do on a sculpture, and things, and vice versa.
Right.
So I really do love the human component, and to see how things move, because some things, of course, don't move well.
Right, yeah.
But some things move beautifully and add to the piece.
Mm, interesting. You have a sculpture piece exhibited currently at the 10th anniversary Sculpture IS exhibit at Bajaro Valley Arts in Watsonville, California. And if you're local, that exhibition is on until the 19th of June. And the piece is called Self-Defense, and it's a life-sized dress made of resin, steel, and nails. And it's a beautiful textured bronze colour, a sort of simple 50s-ish, I would call it, style design. But it has these long protruding nails lined up around the armholes and the neckline, kind of like metal teeth. Could you tell us about the genesis of this piece?
I'd been invited to create a piece for Sculpture IS, and thought, well, I'll make a dress because that's my focus these days, is kind of on fashion pieces. And in thinking about that, I had a form that I had started for another piece, and my initial concept was to cover the exterior with nails and call it self-defense. And then in an encounter with a friend of mine who was having troubles and changing stories in her mind, and verbally changing stories so that she looked better than she actually was, I created this piece with the interior, with the nails. So the nails are on the interior. The entire interior of this piece is covered in nails. And it's the kind of things that we do to protect ourselves, and like changing the facts to make us seem better.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about art, of course, is always what the artist, in, you know, had in mind in creating the piece, and then what is communicated to each person, and that is different. And I know when I saw you at the event, I was saying that, because looking from the outside, what came to my mind was, gosh, if I put my arm through that, it would be really unpleasant. Well, you know, it would tear your flesh apart, you know. And so it's interesting, though, because I'm just thinking about it now when you're saying what the backstory is, that possibly, you know, you're protecting yourself from the inside, but that also is making you unapproachable from the outside too, because it made me not want to be in that garment, you know. So, I mean, that's an interesting...
And it is kind of a lethal garment. Yes. I have the scars to prove it.
You've got another piece called Punching Bag, which is a much more delicate dress made of steel and paint, and 1,000 apologies on paper. Could you tell us what inspired that piece?
That piece was inspired by remembering in my childhood the women on our street talking about a neighbor and referring to her as just a punching bag. And I didn't know what that meant as a child, but it was a term that stayed with me. And at some point, that memory came back to me, and thinking about this woman who is a punching bag and what that actually meant. Mm. And it meant that she was being beaten by her husband and brutalized. But it was kind of this joking term. And so I created that piece, and it's based on old punching bags from when I was a child, these blow-up dolls. They were generally clowns, and you could hit them, and they would bounce right back up, and you'd hit them again, they'd bounce right back up. Mm. So this piece, it's a human-sized form, a very demure dress made out of metal screen, a very 50s kind of long dress, and it sits on a bowl, so you can actually punch it and it bounces back up because it's weighted in the bottom to bring it back up. But the apologies, which are down in the bottom of this bowl at the base of the dress, are my understanding of relationships, where he says, "I'm sorry, I'll never do it again." Mm. And she says, "I'm sorry for whatever it is she's done to provoke him," and that it goes on and on with 1,000 apologies.
I feel like she shouldn't be apologizing at all. Sorry, that's my response to that.
I agree.
I'm like, you did nothing to provoke that. There is nothing you could do to provoke that. Well, other than, I suppose, punching him, but we don't know about that.
That's another story.
Yeah, there we go. I mentioned in the introduction that you're inspired by the spoken word in your art, and I consider art is to be all about communication, whether verbal or non-verbal. I'm wondering if you have overarching themes to your work, or whether each piece has an individual message.
A number of pieces do have individual messages, but I have done, once I did this piece, Punching Bag, it launched an entire exhibition of pieces around physical abuse and around a woman being abused,
yes,
starting with her dreams of what the ideal husband would be and in her family home, and with objects such as her baby shoes, which are a combination of very slick high heels with little babies all over them.
Mm.
And her reading book that sits on a chair that tells her how to catch a man and how to behave for a man. And it goes on to her finding a man and married. And everything is laid out with sculptural objects. And in one of the initial marriage pieces is a man and woman cake topper, except the woman has a ball and chain attached to her ankle.
Hmm.
So it's from what I hope is an old time view where women were the property of men and men could do anything they wanted with their women once they were married. And so the exhibition continued on where there's tension, and then eventually he starts beating her, and I did a video with that. And through a lot of research then on this topic, found that most women who are in abusive relationships, they make 7 attempts to leave the relationship before they actually leave. And that's not 7 one right after another tries. It's, you know, they could go another year before they try again, or 5 years before they pack their suitcase and leave. So I did a whole exhibition that was centered with that as a focal point, and everything built off it until this woman in the very end actually finds someone who is a companion and the person of her dreams. And I represented that in a pair of shoes called the Union of Two Souls, where the toes of each shoe, the man's and the woman's, were joined together. And that was kind of the happy ending of her sad life.
So there's some feminist themes, but also perhaps emancipation of the self running through your work.
Absolutely,
yeah. Well, you're listening to It's a Question of Balance, and my special guest from the arts this week, Rose Sellery, who was just talking to me there, who's an award-winning artist, and also Tina Brown, who we're just about to talk to, who's a personal clothing stylist and blogger, and together they founded Pivot, the Art of Fashion. So we're going to talk to Tina Brown now. You studied environmental design at university, and your studies emphasized clothing as an environment for the body, not just fashion. I'm interested in how you would define the difference between those two things and maybe how they overlap.
Well, fashion is a business, and they are there to sell you clothes. The approach that I started at university, which I think actually really comes into play with what I do now, is we studied clothing for specific professions, like firefighters, like ski wear. We did a study at, you know, we stood at the end of ski slopes and talked to skiers about what worked or didn't work, where they needed padding, where they needed more warmth, that sort of thing. So creating garments that actually were for specific, uses, basically.
Yeah.
Fashion, on the other hand, is really about creating something new every 6 months and trying to get people to buy it.
Right. Okay. That kind of makes me think those two things combined. There's, I was hearing a student of fashion at the moment has been creating garments for refugees. I don't know if you heard about this.
No, I haven't.
Sort of like jackets that can inflate if you're in water, or like one side is reflective and one side is camouflage, you know, because of different needs refugees have.
But that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. And then there's, of course, there's people saying, you know, you're encouraging people to be refugees by giving them the means to survive or whatever. And, you know, then it's also like, it's an interesting thing of those two intersecting parts. Because she said, well, you know, I am a fashion student, because people were saying, are you also taking advantage of refugees? But she's like, well, I think, you know, there's a possibility not to take advantage, but to pursue both. And part of the proceeds are going to charities and things like that. It just made me think of it with you saying that.
I think you could, you know, actually make the argument that fashion is taking advantage of all of us, actually.
Yes,
trying to get us to buy something new every 6 months or change things up every 6 months. So I think if she is, you know, giving her designs away or helping somebody in a time of need, I don't think that's taking advantage of them.
No. So as you've sort of mentioned, that there can be a negative sort of view of fashion, and some people see fashion as very shallow. And Katie Werlin on thefashionhistorian.com responds, instead of fighting fashion, fight a system that labels fashion as shallow and dumb. Teach the next generation to value more than appearance, but don't devalue an interest in appearance altogether. And your business, Ilka Style, offers personal style makeovers, closet makeovers, personal shopping and guided shopping to help people improve their wardrobe and find new ways to look great. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the perception of fashion as frivolous, and also how our appearance relates to an expression of the self.
I think it very much relates to the expression of self, and what I do with my clients is try to help them express that. I think a lot of people definitely think fashion is frivolous, but people make an impression of you in the first 30 seconds, and they're looking at you, and they're looking at what you're wearing. So whether you like it or not, what you are wearing is expressing who you are, whether you think you care about it or not. Mm. I think a lot of times when people don't care about it, that's a sort of rebellion against it. Mm. But what I try to do when I work with clients is help them express who they are through their clothing, what they're comfortable wearing, bright colors or not bright colors. I tend to focus on what I call the three elements of style: body shape, coloring, and personality. Mm. And, you know, I don't recommend wearing something just because it's the latest trend. Mm. And I definitely don't recommend buying something new every 6 months. I'm really against fast fashion. Mm. And I really try to get my clients to think long term. Mm. We now spend, there was a book about fast fashion, and people like in the 1920s used to spend 40% of their income on clothing.
Wow.
We now spend less than 5, and we have more clothing than ever.
Huh.
So if you think about it in those terms, like things are not made well anymore.
No.
You can no longer take them out or take them in because the seam allowances aren't big enough.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find things that fit you because there's no standardized sizing.
Yeah.
And people think tailoring is expensive. It's much better to tailor something to fit you and buy one of it than buy 3 things that doesn't fit you well.
Yes.
And you'll feel so much better. I mean, I try to get my clients to put things on that make them feel good about themselves.
Mm,
and
yes.
That's that self-expression. And, you know, I think when you feel good about yourself, then you're more confident and you're happier going out in the world.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's frivolous.
No. I had a film costume designer on the show, and that was the one thing she said, is that things fitting well, as most people's clothes do not fit well. So she said, even if you buy off the rack or whatever, then just go and get it altered so that it fits you, you know, because
I don't know why people are so opposed to that now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, $10, $12 to hem a pair of pants. Hem the pants. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
I think it makes a real difference on whether you look, you know, put together or not.
Yeah.
And it's not that difficult to do.
Yeah. There is this delicate balance between fashion, between self-expression that's creative and makes you feel good, and then worrying about one's appearance in order to conform or seek approval. And that there's also, you know, can even be an elitism around fashion choices. But how do you think you find the balance, you know, of that positive relationship? I know you're saying some people just aren't interested in clothes. I mean, we live in an area where people are constantly just going around in fleeces and
flip-flops and
flip-flops
shorts.
And you sort of feel like, well, you know, if they want to do that, that's great, you know.
Right.
But you're right also that we do, it does say something to you. You can't help it when you see what people are wearing, yeah.
No, it's very much true. And I think that depends a little bit on what you do for a living, what environment you are in.
Mm.
I think one thing I feel like people have lost nowadays is the sense of what's appropriate in certain circumstances.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, I think that finding that balance between being comfortable with yourself and what you're wearing and being comfortable in the environment that you're in.
Yes.
I think there's times when you do have to dress a certain way to show respect.
Yes.
And I think in some job situations, you definitely have to, when I work with clients, like they have to go on TV, and if they're trying to promote either their book or, you know, I had a client who was running for city council. Mm. You want to look put together, but you don't want the clothes to take away from what you're saying. So that's a delicate balance as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's different situations. I mean, it's definitely what I help my clients work out as they go through. And I had a client who was, you know, worked more in government, so she was a little more conservative, and now she's working in Silicon Valley in a tech startup, and it's a totally different way of dressing. And for her, she wants to, you know, feel like she fits in a little bit more, so she wanted to... They're a little more casual, but they're still put together.
Yes.
So that's a different than wearing suiting, right? So for her, it's a whole different switch in how you dress.
Yes, yeah. So. Well, you're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. My special guests from the arts this week, Rose Celery and Tina Brown, co-founders of Pivot, the Art of Fashion. We're going to a break now, but we'll be back after these messages with more conversation.
Ciao, I'm Luca from Tramonti at 528 Seabright Avenue, steps from the ocean. We are the authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant, serving also organic salad and house-made dessert in a friendly family-style atmosphere, indoor or on our lovely patio.
Tramonti is open every day from noon to 9 and later on Fridays and Saturdays. Come enjoy our specials every Tuesday neighborhood night and the best deal for a healthy bite at lunch every day.
We bake our bread and prep our fresh pasta and pizza daily. Beppe, Daniel and I want to say grazie to the Santa Cruz community for supporting us in the past 2 years. Allora, buon appetito!
Visit Luca and Beppe at Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue. That's Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue.
Did you know about the Santa Cruz Art League on Broadway in Santa Cruz? Founded in 1919, it's 96 years young and provides a wonderful gallery space for local and national artists. It's a great place to view art with 14 shows a year and also to gain support if you're an artist yourself. There are art classes and weekend workshops, many taught by open studio artists. If you become a member, you receive a newsletter, discounts on classes, gifts and exhibit entries, images of your art on the Art League website, and guaranteed participation in the annual members show. It's also a great place to meet artists. Visit the Santa Cruz Art League at 562 Broadway or the website at scal.org. That's scal.org.
Imagine living without stress, anxiety, or fear? And can you imagine a life filled with harmony and inner peace? Is that even possible? The Ananda Yoga and Meditation Center in Scotts Valley offers simple tools to help you become more effective at work and more centered in the face of life's challenges. At Ananda, we offer yoga classes for everybody, inspiring workshops, devotional chanting, and Sunday services based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. Our teachers and therapists are highly trained professionals who work together to inspire a healthier you. And your first Ananda yoga class is always free. Visit us at anandascottsvalley.org or call 338-YOGA. That's anandascottsvalley.org or 338-YOGA.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Coplin, and my conversation with my special guests this week, Rose Sellery and Tina Brown, co-founders of Pivot the Art of Fashion. And just want to give you some information in case you would like to check out their work. Rose's website again is rosesellery.com, and that's Rose and then sellery.com. And Tina Brown's website is ilkastyle.com, ilkastyle.com. And then Pivot the Art of Fashion is pivot-artfashion.com. But I'm sure if you put in any of their names and art, fashion, it's going to come up. But you might especially be interested in the upcoming Alan Marks Art Party, The Art of Fashion, on Saturday, June the 18th at 7 p.m. at the Armory in San Jose. So Rose and Tina, you co-founded Pivot the Art of Fashion, as I mentioned, to bring together art and fashion. But, you know, what inspired the creation specifically of Pivot?
Well, we had been working together for many years on Fashion Art Santa Cruz, and I think we both decided it was time. I had been the designer coordinator and Rose had been the artist coordinator, but we weren't the overall producers of the show. And I think we felt like we were ready to really produce what we thought art and fashion was.
And we had different ideas of how we wanted things to go, and we wanted to create more of a community with the people we worked with, from the artists and the designers to the hair and makeup people who have worked with us year after year, and photographers who have documented our work for us. And so we are trying to create a community of creative people, and also producing workshops to help them grow in what they're doing.
Right. And Alan Marks Art Party is presenting The Art of Fashion on Saturday, June the 18th, as I mentioned, in San Jose. What can people expect if they come to that event?
Oh, I think it's going to be wildly fun. This particular event is also a pickup party for Content Magazine, which is a San Jose very avant-garde and elegant magazine.
What is a pickup party? That I'm thinking maybe it's not what I'm thinking it is.
It's just the newest.
Well, it could be that,
maybe
too.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
I think there'll be some of that going on as well, but it's just the release of their newest edition.
They're
released every other month.
Right, okay. Yeah. So you pick up the magazine.
You can actually pick up the magazine there. Yep. Get the copy. And it's also an introduction to Drew Clark, who is an event designer. And his business is MU Industries. And Drew is going to be featured in this edition of Content Magazine. But he is going to transform the Armory, which is an old
National Guard building.
He's going to transform it and do a lot of magic in there, so it should be quite fabulous. And then we'll be doing a fashion show with our artists and designers, and there'll be food and drinks, and should be a lot of fun.
Electric violin
and music.
And so this is
an art.
Wearable art. Is it both? Is it art, wearable art, and fashion, or is it all wearable art for this?
No, it's both.
Okay.
We have designers showing a very small collection, and then artists doing one-of-a-kind wearable art pieces.
Mm.
So it'll be a combination of the two, which is what we usually do when we produce shows.
Right, yeah. I understand that this special showing is a preview of a larger collection that will be shown on the closing night of Alan Marks Art Party, which is ongoing from September 24th to October 1st. Perhaps I should ask you first, for people, listeners who don't know, what is Alan Marks Art Party?
Alan Marks Art Party has been described as Mad Max meets Moulin Rouge or Freak Show meets Fellini. It's a wildly creative event, and it started off with these two people, Anne and Mark, sitting. I always imagine them sitting in their living room with a glass of wine and saying, let's have a party and have everyone bring their art.
Uh-huh.
And they did this in their home, where they took everything off their walls and invited their friends and family who created art and put on a show there. And it was one big night. And then the next year they did it again, and those people who had been in it invited their friends or family to show their art. And they did that for a number of years until their house could no longer hold everything. And they moved to a warehouse and did it there and built walls and created smaller galleries, and they added music and dance and fire and
poetry.
And then it got too big for this warehouse. So in 2014, they moved to the Santa Clara Fairgrounds and took that over. And this year, they're taking over the Santa Clara Fairgrounds again, but even a larger, extensive area of it. So there'll be 34,000 square feet of walls for artwork. Wow. So this is one of the biggest art showings that there is. But on top of that, besides just walking around and looking at art, there's fire performances, and there's musicians and dancers. And it's a little bit like Burning Man in a tuxedo.
Right.
Especially the Galen opening night is on September 24th. You need to be there. And for everyone who doesn't go, you're going to be hearing about, oh my God, you should have been there. So I suggest get your tickets early. The VIP tickets sell out quickly, but there's also regular tickets for the opening night. Mm-hmm. And then you can go look at the art on the other nights for another ticket price. And on the final night, October 1st, we will be doing a fashion show as part of the closing bash for fashion for the art party.
Ah, interesting. So how will the show change between the one on the 18th? It'll just be longer, will it, for the Anne and Mark side?
Much more extensive.
Yes,
it'll be longer, and I think a lot of the wearable art pieces will be more performance-based. And we'll have more people involved as well, more artists and designers. We have 17 showing on June 18th, and we hope to have 20 to 25 in October.
So it'll be a wonderful taster, though, and great event in itself. But if you like that, then you're really going to like the one in September.
Absolutely.
Can I mention that if people want to get tickets for either the June 18th event or for Anne and Mark's art party in September, they can go to the website, which is artpartysj.com.
So artpartysj.
There's also a link on our website as well.
So how do you curate the pieces that appear in the show?
Well, it's sort of a bit of a process. We have an application, and with the art pieces, they have to send in either pictures or drawings and the ideas behind them, what the materials are made of. A lot of times they're not completely done when they apply. So if we have any questions, we go meet with them in their studios. The designers, again, I usually meet with them, each of them individually, and talk about what they're trying to get across. Mm. Make sure they're showing a cohesive collection. It can't just be a bunch of random pieces. It needs to be a cohesive group. And I work pretty closely with the designers on that, just to help them bring that all together. So, and then Rose and I will talk about the pieces and see which ones we really love and which ones really actually speak to us. That really is what it comes down to.
Right, recently, Jill Berry, who's the British president of the Girls' School Association, stated, caring about physical appearance and fashion and wanting to feel good about how you look doesn't have to be a betrayal of some feminist ideal. I love new shoes, but it doesn't make me shallow. Girls can have fun and also be taken seriously. We've got about 4 minutes left, so it's not going to be a deep conversation, but I'm just wondering how you see fashion and wearable art in a feminist context.
Well, for me personally, I love fashion, and I love the craftsmanship behind it, the way it's made, the way that it's fitted to the body, and again, that expression of the person wearing it. Mm. And I think for the art pieces, I love when they speak to feminist values, like a lot of Rose's work does. I totally agree with what she's saying. I don't think you can I think you can love fashion, you can wear high heels, and you can still be a feminist.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think we need to limit ourselves by what we're wearing or what someone else thinks we should be wearing.
Yeah.
Or the color of our hair or how long our fingernails are.
Yeah. There's just these stereotypes, aren't there? I mean, it's like if you're smart, you can't be cool. Or if you're into clothes, then you can't be intelligent. And I mean, it's sort of breaking down all of that kind of stereotyping, which I think art can be brilliant at doing.
And I hope we're doing that.
Yes.
I think a lot of the wearable art pieces definitely work to break that down. They're using unusual materials, like one of our favorites, Charlotte Crooks, uses candy wrappers, and she makes beautifully sewn dresses out of them, or jackets.
So cool.
I mean, it's just amazing. So I think by, you know, questioning what garments are helps break down those stereotypes of what people think they should be.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And then just very briefly, I understand Pivot is also a philanthropic endeavor. How do you work to support participants?
Well, we try to have designers markets before or after our shows where our participants can actually sell their items to the public. We try to promote any workshops they might be doing or hold workshops for them. We also do I just did a photo shoot for one of the artists or designers.
And why is that important to you to bring that element into what you're doing?
Because these people are trying to make a living off their artwork.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get people to appreciate that buying a piece of handmade clothing as compared to going to Forever 21 and buying something that's made in a factory, probably by a young child, really makes a difference to the people living here.
Yes. Yeah.
And the work that our artists and designers are creating are unique. These people are sewing them themselves. Mm. They're, for the most part, not sending them out to be sewn in some manufacturing company. They're printing them, they're dyeing them, they're embroidering them, they're cutting them out. They're sitting down at a sewing machine and making these garments. And they're of a caliber that you can't find in a store, even going to Macy's or somewhere of that caliber. You can't just pick these up off the rack.
Yeah.
But they're pieces that will last you a lifetime.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much to both of you for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
And I just want to let listeners know that if you go to the show website, it's aquestionofbalance.com, and you go to the guest tab and click on the photos of Rose or Tina, then there will be their bios, photographs of their work, and there's also going to be links to the websites that we've mentioned during the program. So if you're driving and you can't remember all of that, if you just go to the show website, it's aquestionofbalance.com, you'll be able to find out all that information and hopefully go along to the event if you're local in San Jose on June the 18th. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to you joining me next time.